It's now 8:21. Carbondale Mayor Mike Henry joining me on the line this morning. Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. How about yourself?
Good. I'm trying to stay optimistic for 2021. You had any success in that front?
Well, I tell you what, I work at it every day. and hoping everything will get better. Well, sooner or later, we're going to get to open up our restaurants and bars, and our students will come back to SIU, and all that's going to help some, but we got a ways to go to get there, it seems like.
So, you know what, it was interesting how you put that. This is what we want, and I just want to get some traction towards getting towards my goal. And is vaccine traction?
Well, I think it is. We just aren't getting it out there as fast as we thought. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but it just seems like everything in this process is slow with fighting COVID. It's just a difficult bug.
I know you. I note that Carbondale Fire Department first responders were vaccinated.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and some of our extended care folks have been vaccinated. It's getting there, but again, it's just slow.
All right. I got to tell you, Mike, last week, I think it would have been Thursday, and even before I was in the studio, my text line was full of restaurants and people in Carbondale who were very upset about the enforcement tack that had been taken in Carbondale. Let's take a look at this story as a whole, if you would, Mike. I think this started with the Jackson County Board and then writing some rules in, and then the state's attorney on how he was going to address that, and then to the city ordinance passed by Carbondale. I know that's an abbreviated storytelling. Could you tell me how you see that chain of events?
Well, yeah, it's exactly what you say, and our ordinance has been on the books for a while. Our council meeting about 10 days ago now, we had a discussion about this, and we're hearing from, the governor's office, and why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing that, and then, of course, the Jackson County Board passed that to do something in Jackson County, and so we started with our building neighborhood services going out to folks who were, quote-unquote, in violation of the governor's orders, and letting them know made sure they were aware of it. And, we made three calls at least on every one of them. And then we finally wrote tickets. And that's when when everything hit the fan.
Right. And that correct me if I'm wrong, is that $750 a day?
I don't think it's a day, but it escalates over a period. I think you get a week in there, and then it escalates again if you continue to be open. I know there were some, most of our restaurants are closed to inside dining. We only have four in Carbondale, I think, that are open to indoor seating. A lot of our places are completely closed.
I knew that. By my count, people who reached out to me, managers, owners, primarily last week, my rough count was five restaurants that were written up.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, okay. I missed one when I was thinking about it.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not going to pull those names out this morning. I'm sure I could. Because I want them to succeed and move forward. I've known you long enough to know, Mike, that this is a tight spot, because these are not strangers. These are people you know. These are people in neighborhoods. They're the ones who pay the bills, right, in Carbondale, right, with taxes and things along that line. So I know this is going to have. This has been a very difficult situation you've been in or are in, Carbondale. You've got the pressure from the governor saying you officials have blood on your hands when you don't do this, and call your city councilman, call your mayor, call your county commissioners, and ask them what they're doing to do this. I mean, it did a lot of coverage on this, with including law enforcement agents saying we don't have the tools and resources. That's why you created an ordinance. But at this point, I had one restaurant that reached out specifically to me and said their lawyer had called them last Wednesday saying the city was threatening to pull their liquor license as well.
Yeah, that's the worst possible step. But you know, again, it's we have been told to use whatever we can to get people in compliance. And we know that the purse strings are in Springfield. And I think that's a real threat for us, for anybody that is doesn't finally come around. And, you know, we've waited a long time. And, you know, my business is a printing business, and it's open, but it's not open to the public. And we've lost over 60% of our gross sales. People. And my retirement account is looking almost to zero just to keep the place running and pay the bills. So I understand what this is, and I'm not crying about that. But I want people to know that lots of businesses are suffering, and it's not just our restaurants and bars. You know, it's our retail stores, and everybody is struggling. And it's just, but the inside dining is just a, man, I tell you what, it's just a tough thing to deal with. And they can do curbside pickup or front door pickup, however you want to describe it. But we have some that just want to do inside dining. They think they have a right to do it. I mean, I've been told that. And I got almost 50 emails, some of them incredibly hateful. And so it's a tough situation. And you know, I get it. These are mom and pop stores, a lot of them.
Yeah, very much so.
The ones we're dealing with aren't chain stores.
All right. So you since you feel you're in the same boat, right? And you're going into your retirement account, you're pillaging that to keep the doors open and keep your employees. Let me ask you from your personal standpoint. You're not mayor anymore for the next 30, 40 seconds, okay?
Yeah.
Which one are you? Are you mad? Are you threatened? Are you afraid? What's the emotion that is the driving unit behind somebody who is a business owner who sees the rules destroying their business? What? How do you feel that about that?
Well, I'm definitely not mad about it. I get the rules. You know, governments have to ensure the public good. You know, if we went out and said, okay, today we're going to turn off all the stoplights in Carbondale and just drive however you want to drive, then what would people be doing and what would happen? So the government does things to ensure the public good. And, you know, our state has decided this, our city has decided this, our county has decided this, and unfortunately, you know, it's tough on our businesses, some of them more than others. You know, I think we need to stay the course, comply as well as we can, and we have always stood ready to help our businesses. You know, our Billy Neighborhood Services weren't going in there and yelling and screaming at them. You know, it was informative to start with. And then it finally got to the point where we were forced to write tickets.
So I think part of the problem is if you're in Jackson County, you say, wait a second, I can go to Marion and sit down in a restaurant. Oh, wait a second, I can go to Cape Girardeau across the river and I can go into a restaurant. And yeah. I think that's also part of the issue here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can do the same thing.
That's a huge part of the issue,
right?
Because there's Williamson County in particular is just a short drive.
Right, or you can take a look.
One of my best friends in Carbondale was the first email I got, and he says, so really, you're forcing us to go to Williamson County to eat out.
Yes.
To eat at a restaurant.
What'd you reply?
You know, I said, totally up to you what you decide to do.
All right. And you've got entire states. I mean, here's one of the things. So what does Mayor Henry think of Florida's success during the pandemic? And, of course, they're talking about keeping the restaurants open, the context we're talking about. Because those emails that you've gotten and texts, you would not believe the comments that I'm reading right now, all across the spectrum.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
sure.
You know, and a lot of all caps, I've noticed as well.
Yeah.
So moving forward, what's next, Mike, for in this arena? You've got about five restaurants. Other restaurants are looking to see what's going on, and they're making judgment calls based on that. I see now even owners of restaurants who are texting me now. Here's one manager of a restaurant saying, as it should be, up to everyone to choose. I think that's one of the ones, and this is from a manager at one of the restaurants that was ticketed.
Right, and you know, that's the opinion of those folks, that everyone should get to choose to go to the restaurant of their choice and dine how they want to. But you can have this virus, you can spread it without knowing it, you can be asymptomatic, You know, again, I go back to the science, and I know that we're doing better here than Williamson County is.
Yes.
Their cases passed us up a long time ago. We were ahead of them in the beginning, and they're way above us.
All right, let's take a look at Mike's comment here. Jackson County yesterday, 39 new positive cases, 286 active, with a total of 59 deaths. Let's see here. I don't have all the numbers for Williamson County, but it appears Franklin, Williamson County, the two were 99 new cases, 32 in Franklin and 67 in Williamson. So let's go to here's a new comment that just came in that supports the decision-making, saying that restaurants that have adapted to restrictions are surviving. New Kahala, Quatro's. The list isn't short. And the businesses crying the loudest, they're still open.
And the ones who are, we get complaints from at the city, is from our businesses that are in compliance somehow or have to be closed, and they don't like it that people are violating the ordinances.
And you know what, another issue too is they say, well, look, I can go to Lowe's, I can go to Walmart, I can go to all these other places that are packed, but I can't go down and sit down and eat. And I think that's, we talked about comparisons, county, state. I think that's another issue within the own community. That why can I pack into Walmart but not go get biscuits and gravy?
Yeah, and oddly enough, we get complaints about those stores, about people, customers being in there not wearing masks, or the occasional employee. I mean, it's just amazing how complicated this issue is. But if you go in a restaurant, you're going to take the mask off to eat. In Walmart, you don't have to take the mask off. But we get reports from the public, we the city, every day about a store clerk that's not wearing a mask, and we go talk to the manager in the store, and they fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100%. We haven't had any issues with that. But people will have a mask on, but it's pulled under their chin, or it doesn't cover their nose, or something. It's just amazing the complaints we get every single day.
Right. Well, I got people saying, you know, this is total BS, and that we shouldn't be wearing masks. I mean, I'm reading all this stuff. Tyranny.
Trust me, I get it.
You get it too. Well, you got 50. I got 50 in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because of this subject. Now, here's another subject, Mike. And maybe we come back around to this other one. And this is a woman who reached out to me from Franklin County. And she was one of the people that was shot. Her car shot twice. She supplied me with photographs as they extracted the bullets from the door, two different calibers. Apparently, she drove a car that was very much like the other cars that had been involved in some of these shootings in Carbondale, where the cars were just shot at. And it was interesting because I asked you, you know, about how you feel in the situation where you feel mad, you feel threatened, or you're afraid, whatever the case. And I've been talking to this woman now who had children in the car with her when her car was shot twice, just maybe a foot below where the window and the door meet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it had been a foot higher, would have hit her. If there hadn't been hit the right things in the door, would have come on through. They're shooting some high-caliber stuff.
Right.
And it was interesting, as I spoke to her, she says, it just doesn't seem like it's being taken serious because no one was hurt. And she wasn't mad about it, but she was deathly afraid because this place is two blocks away from her doctor where she goes to see heart looked at.
Man.
And she's from Franklin County. She comes to Carbondale, and she's getting shot at. And she doesn't understand why we're not doing more about that.
Oh, you got to... Our police reports, we take guns off the street every day. Every single day and night. And it's just that's a constant problem also. Our police force is so busy all the time with this. We have shots fired nearly every day. But they're in basically in certain neighborhoods. And or certain apartment buildings or that kind of thing, because people get moved in and then they start arguing with each other and then, you know, ends up with guns.
Is this gangs? Is this gang, or is this something else? Is this drugs, which are kind of synonymous? I know it's stupid to say, but
A lot of it is. Yeah, that's the biggest part of it. And you know, we had a lot of folks move up to Carbondale when all the housing in Cairo had to be shut down there. And it turned out that the gangs there in Cairo were warring with gangs in Mount Vernon. And as soon as they got up here, then it brought the Mount Vernon folks here.
Okay, and that's interesting because when I was reading Top 10 Most Dangerous Cities in the State of Illinois 2020, Mount Vernon was number one. Cairo was 3 or 6, maybe?
Yeah.
So those two towns, right, we've seen there are proximity to them and the fact that you're a larger community, people have migrated within the state and helped generate this problem. I'm curious, because the woman who I'm talking about is apparently listening as we speak. She just sent me a message saying, okay, I'm listening to you and Mike right now. I mean, what would you tell someone who's terrified to come back to your town because they've had firsthand experience with violence? I mean, what would you tell them, Mike?
Well, I would hope they would give it another try. And again, we're putting criminals, pulling them off the street nearly every single day and getting guns. It's amazing the number of guns we get off the street and off the street. And that's a primary focus of our policing is getting after the illegal guns.
I'll tell you what, this is one of the tough ones because people said, I'm just driving down, going to the doctor, I'm being shot at. Now, I did clarify with her because I was curious, day or night. She did tell me that it was a nighttime and that her car resembles one of the other cars. The investigators told us, look, and I'd seen it in some of the reports too, black looks like a Charger Camaro or something along that line.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've been talking about this story about people leaving, moving, migrating in the state of Illinois. I mean, when we talk about some of this stuff, we have to be concerned about the future because we already know Kankakee, Danville. We know once this stuff gets in your community and is ever present, and unless you deal with it, it is one of the signs that your community is in real problem because people decide to pick up and take their toys with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I agree. And but we feel like we're being successful with pushing it out.
I was wondering,
particularly with the gun problems.
I was wondering when it comes to that, these new concerns about cash-free bail in Illinois, is that something that you think needs to go into effect or needs? We need to keep cash bail in Southern Illinois. I've talked to a lot of state's attorneys and law enforcement agents say this cash-free bail idea is just terrible for the type of violence that you and I are talking about.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think our enforcement needs to get stronger, not weaker.
All right. Mike, I know we had some tough subjects here to talk about, but I think that in some ways is the traction that we were talking about earlier. I mean, I'm looking now at a comment from the woman who's listening who was shot. Here she, I just want to read a small bit of this. She's apparently listening this morning. She says, although I'm not physically injured, all of us, talking about her and the children in the car, were emotionally and mentally affected by this. I shouldn't be scared to go to my heart doctor 2 blocks away from the incident because I have a black Camaro. On New Year's Eve, I went into full anxiety attack hearing fireworks. I looked online about the shooting 2 weeks prior involving the other black Camaro, and there's really not much there. And on news coverage, they made it seem as if it was just a car involved in the shooting. It should be that an innocent person was driving down the street and shot at. Just seems like they were portraying as if I was involved in a shooting, not shot at. That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with her assessment on that. Yeah, the news should report it as for what it really was.
Good, and I'm going to make sure that we do it. Maybe we watch that. I think Robert's really good at that, so I don't have much of an issue. But then again, I'm not the only source for media. Hey, you know, we do have questions that don't involve any. Oh, Lord, I just looked at my page. Okie dokie, let me see here because I knew there was one. They were wanting to know about the roundabout. There it is. Update me on the Chautauqua roundabout, says Gary from Carbondale.
That roundabout now it's at Chautauqua and McLafferty Road, which is on our southwest quadrant of Carbondale. And We have a city got a grant to do a roundabout. It's odd when you look at that intersection, you wouldn't think it's a high incident intersection, but it is because of the speed. The speed limit's 30 on Chautauqua, and you know we have written tickets for people doing 50 coming over that hill.
I remember when a young boy was killed not far from that location because he went over one of those little mounds coming away from there and hit air and was off into the cornfield and killed.
Yeah, yeah. And so the roundabout it slows traffic down. It just, you know, slows it down. It's not a stop sign. You'll enter the roundabout and go through it. But anyway, it's under construction. And like I said, access to McLafferty Road going south off of Chautauqua, that's where the construction's going on right now. But we've got a good plan to keep traffic moving through there. You know, I've had comments initially when this was done that people in Southern Illinois don't understand roundabouts.
You can count me on that list, by the way.
Well, but Marion has a roundabout. Pinckneyville has a roundabout. I think Benton has a roundabout.
Right.
It's around the square.
Well, I talked to my friend Keith Roberts over at the Illinois Department of Transportation, the engineering department in Carbondale. And he says, we got the statistics. But Keith, we've got statistics. They're safer.
Yeah.
And I've known Keith a long time. He tells me something. I know he's not fibbing. Hey, I know we got to end, but, you know, we talked a lot about a lot of violence and contentious items here. I want to end on a high note. This was a note that was just sent to me by Illinois State Trooper retired. Says, Carbondale has an outstanding police department. Like so many other agencies, they just don't have the manpower that they need. Stan Reno will be an outstanding police chief. So I want to end it on a high note here that people also recognize the effort that goes into this.
Oh, good. I appreciate that very much because there is a lot of effort, and we do have an outstanding, well-trained, continually trained police department.
And that's why the Illinois State Police come down and rob officers from you.
That's exactly right. They do.
It's 8:43. Mike, thanks so much for your time, but clearly this is a subject. Just before I let you go, what can the people of Carbondale do to help you in these situations? And when I say this, Mike, the situations involve not only COVID mitigation ordinance Carbondale, but the violence in Carbondale. What can the citizens of Carbondale do to assist you?
You know, there's a real simple saying. I used to hear it quite a bit. Be kind to one another. And, you know, I think that goes a long way. We have an awful lot of stress going on with all of us now. And just be kind to one another and do the best we can do. Voice your opinions, but they don't have to be hateful. And love your neighbor.